Thank you, Stephanie. What a blessing. That's a beautiful song, and it is so, so true. Well, it's good to have Brother Craig Bryan here, and many of you perhaps remember him from Brett and Becky's wedding, and just a blessing, good old Southern boy, and I enjoy getting to know him. He's a former pastor, been a pastor for 35 years, most recently at the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, and then God called him to full-time evangelism. And, of course, he's Becky's former pastor, and just a blessing. He called me a couple months ago, found out he was going into evangelism. We scheduled the meeting and for such a time as this. And so listen carefully. Let God speak to your heart. Brother Bryan, you come.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, what a joy. Amen. What a joy to be here this morning. And I don't know about you, but I like coming to church, amen, and just a place to get away from the world, amen, and escape, and but I'm glad to be here this morning. It's such a privilege. First time I've really had the privilege of preaching here. Boy, I've been treated with royalty already. I just a beautiful, beautiful prophet's chamber. I love it up there. And of course, the pastor told me he lived there for about 5 months. Is that right up there? He says it's not so bad, but when you got your daughter with you and living up there with you, you know, you're ready to kick her out and, you know, and everything. You know, it's a beautiful place, and you got a beautiful facilities here, and just sweet people. I enjoyed being around you already. I feel at home, amen, and you've made me feel that way, and thank you so much. I love you, Pastor. Boy, I love you, Pastor. You got a, like I said, I didn't recognize him at first because he's lost so much weight, and I'm going to get some of them drops, amen, and I'm going to drink a whole bottle, amen, today, amen, what a blessing, and of course, Becky, I had the privilege of being her pastor, and have a part of her coming here. I encouraged her to come here, and of course, she met her husband, Brett, here. Now they have a beautiful, beautiful little girl. Thank God it doesn't look like the daddy, amen, and he's in children's church, amen. He can't protect himself, but anyway, we're just a joy to be here today. I enjoyed teaching the Sunday school class, and thank you for listening and being attentive to here. I'm going to go ahead and grab this mic here because I forgot it over here. I'll probably come down, move around a little bit, and there and talk to you this morning. If you will, take your Bibles this morning because of time. This message is a little detailed and lengthy on some, one part of it that I really want to talk to you this morning. As Pastor said, I've been in the ministry at 35 years now, over 35 years I've been in the ministry. I've had the privilege to work around great men in the ministry and learn a lot of things and be in the pastoring and all that. And now God said, okay, it's time to take what you've learned and go around and try to be a blessing to people and help people, encourage people. And that's what I want to do the rest of my life. I just want to try to be an encouragement to pastors and churches and stir the fire a little bit. Amen. We need our churches need stirring. Amen. Again. And I hope God will use me to do that. And Psalms 46 this morning, Psalms 46, if you would stand out of respect to the Word of God this morning, Psalms 46, and if you can't, God understands that, but I'd encourage you to stand out of respect to the Word of God. Psalms 46 this morning, we'll begin in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, Aren't you glad that God is our refuge and strength? Amen. And by the way, if you see me do this morning, that doesn't mean I'm scratching my ear. Amen. That means amen. Okay. So let's practice a little bit, all right?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I believe we can do a little better. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, we are a Baptist church, aren't we? Amen. Amen. How many of you are saved this morning? Amen. Amen. How many of you are glad you're saved this morning? How many of you are glad you're going to heaven this morning? Amen. How many of you are glad that you're not in jail this morning? Amen. How many of you just got out of jail? Amen. No, don't raise your hand. Amen on that. All right. All right, Brother Jones out there, I know he's been in jail, amen, and all right, Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And I like this part too, in verse 5, God is in the midst of her. I'm glad God's going to be there. Amen. Look in verse 5, and she shall not be moved, and God shall help her, and that right early, and the heathen rage and the kingdoms were moved, and he uttered his voice, and the earth melted. And this is the part that I like, the first part of this verse, and we'll read it together in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. Amen. I tell you what, there's a lot of people I don't want to be with. There's some people I don't want to be with. I don't want to be on an airplane with a terrorist. Can I have amen? There's some places I don't want to be. But I'll tell you, and there's some people I don't want with me. Amen. But this is one I do want with me. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And I like this next part. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he have made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. Look what he said. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And it was so important in verse 7 that he said, I'm going to put it in again. In verse 11, let's read it together. The Lord of hosts is with us. Amen. I'm glad God's with me. Amen. I'm glad that God is with me. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning now. In the next few moments, Lord, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would take this vessel and take this. I'm just a voice, Lord, and I'm nothing without you, God. And Lord, I ask you to fill me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Fill me with the power of God. Give me a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Use me, Lord. And might I be a blessing to these people today. To stir them, God, to live for you. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Is this one on? Yes, it is. I'm going to, this morning, what I'm going to do, and you'll have to listen on purpose, but I'm going to go through in the next minutes or so, it'll take longer for me to tell you about what we have been through, my wife and I have been through the last 2.5 years, than really the message, the points that I give you. But the points that I give you, and that's why you want to listen to every detail of the story or the instance that happened to my wife and I the last 2.5 years, because the points go along with situations that happen in the, as I explain what our life's been through the last 2.5 years. And so I'm going, it'll take longer, but the points, I promise, will go quicker. And when I start hearing Billy's growl, I know it's time to start cutting her up, golf, amen. But 2.5 years ago, my wife and I were out in the front yard, and she, and by the way, those of you were in Sunday school, but you wasn't in Sunday school, but you're here now. How many of you know that I'm not a Yankee? How many of you understand that? You understand that by now? Amen. I am from the North, but it's called North Carolina. Amen. And I'm a little slow getting started, but when I get rolling, I'm rolling. All right. So get out of the way. Amen. And so, we were standing in the front yard, and my wife, all of a sudden, she loved flowers. She just loved flowers. And I hated them because she made me work in them, amen. But she reached down to pull a weed out from a flower, and when she did, there was a pop. We heard a pop, and I even heard it. I said, "My goodness!" I said, "What was that?" And she said, "I don't know. It just popped in me. I heard it and I felt it." And all of a sudden, she went into pain. I took her in the house and laid her in the bed, and she couldn't hardly get up. So finally, I had to rush her to the emergency room. We got there. They did x-rays and found out she had a broken rib bone. And so they said, "Miss Bryan, how did you fall?" She said, "Well, I didn't. All I did is reach down and pull a weed out, and I felt a pop." So they said, "Well, it's not much we can do. We'll give you pain medicine and kind of wrap you up a little bit, because with a rib, there's not much they can do." Well, about a month passed, and it happened again. Another bone broke. And finally, the doctor said, "You know, something's not going right here," and said, we better do some full-body scan. And so they put her in the hospital, did a full-body scan, checked everything out, And finally, about a week passed after the test, we were at home. I was getting ready to go. We had our soul winning visitation on Thursday night. And I was getting ready to go soul winning. And my wife answered a phone in the back room. Well, I heard her talking back there, but I didn't know who it was. And about 20 minutes passed, and she called me back there, and she said, "Craig," she said, "come back here. I need to talk to you." I go back there, and we closed the door. She said, "I've got cancer." I said, just hearing that word, you know, many of you know what I'm talking about, that it just fear all of a sudden comes up. And I said, "Well, what kind of cancer do you have?" And she said, "Honey, could you not do that? Play with the paper there." Okay. All right. Thank you. Amen. I do that at my church. I hope it's all right. Do that. Amen. I want folks to hear. And, she said what they found. They found a tumor on my sacrum bone. The sacrum bone is like the tailbone. And she said, and it's completely eaten away. The tailbone was gone. The cancer had eaten it up. They found a lesions in her head bone. They found a lesions in her neck bone. They found a lesions in her shoulder bone. They found a lesions up and down her spine, all up and down her spine. They found a lesion, and even in her knee bone. Did I say shoulder too? I think shoulder. And so all them places, the cancer had eaten away at her bones. She said, and of course, when she told me all this, I was just floored. You know, I was just floored. I didn't know, you know, everything was going good. The church, you know, was doing good, and things were
everything was going good, and all of a sudden, boom, just like that, just like in verse 2 and 3, sometimes your mountains are going to come tumbling down. You know what? It can be just a phone call away. Can I have amen? It can be just a phone call that all of a sudden your rivers begin to rage and your mountains start tumbling down in your life. And everything can change in just a moment. Just a moment. And our whole life changed in just a moment. Just one phone call. Well, I'll never forget that night. My wife was sitting on the bed, and I'll be honest with you, I fell to my knees by the bed, and I was so, I just felt, numb to all of it. I felt like lifeless. I felt like, where do I go from here? Where do we go? And for about 20 or 30 minutes, I was just stunned about it all. And even asked her, are you sure that's what he said? Or are you sure that's what the doctor said? And finally, after about 20 or 30 minutes, we were quiet. And I finally said, honey, I said, let me tell you something. I took her by the hand. I said, there's two things that I'm going to promise you right now. I said, the first thing is that no matter what you go through, I'm going to go through it with you. And I'm going to be by your side the whole journey. And to God be the glory, I did that. Amen. Number two, I made a promise that whatever happens during this time, God's going to get the glory. Amen. God's going to get the glory, whatever happened in her life. So we made those two vows, and I'm sitting there after I said that, and I thought, well, how do I start giving God the glory? How did I start just like I promised that I would give God the glory? How am I going to do that? Well, all of a sudden, I looked. I had my suit on, my tie, had my New Testament soul-winning Bible. I said, well, the best way I know to start is go tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. So I got up and I said, honey, I'm going soul winning. I went out that night with a heavy heart, a burdened heart, and won two people to Christ. They got saved. I came back and, of course, a few weeks. Now we met with the doctors and now the chemo started. We went down the chemo thing and she got pneumonia right off the bat. They said that she almost died. I remember her being in a hospital. Doctor said a couple of nights, they didn't think she's going to make it through the night. And our lungs were filled with fluid, and she had pneumonia. And, well, praise the Lord, she lived through that. She lived through that. We got home a week or two. After we were home, of course, her immune system was at the bottom from the chemo. And all of a sudden, she started swelling. Now, my wife was like 105 pounds. That's about as big as my wife was. And I mean, after all these years, she was just a small frame woman. But she got bigger and bigger and bigger. And she started swelling. I thought she was going to explode. By the way, nobody swells at my house but me. Amen. And she got bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, I had to rush her to the emergency room. And I'm not kidding, Pastor. Her skin looked like it was going to pop open, or stretch marks on her skin. We got to the emergency room. They run tests, put her in the hospital. Come to find out, she had C. diff. C. diff is an infection in the colon. And she had caught it, they think, at the hospital when she had pneumonia, where her immune system would not fight at all. So her colon got full of infection, and it just kept getting fuller and fuller, that her colon was swelling bigger and bigger. Finally, the doctors gave her antibiotics and said, we'll give you antibiotics for a week. Well, the problem was her immune system wouldn't fight it off, so the antibiotic was doing no good. It was, and so finally they said, well, what we'll have to do is we'll just, Bonnie, I think we're going to have to take your colon out. During that week, two and three times a night, my wife is a very clean woman, but she couldn't control her bowels. you know, getting all over the bed, all over the place, and I'd have to get up, clean her up. I did it two or three times a night, wash her, change her sheets, everything, put her back into bed, and an hour later, same thing. 2 hours late, did it night after night until finally on Saturday morning, the doctors came in and said, Bonnie, we're going to have to take your colon out. We'll do it Monday. We'll do it Monday. This was on Saturday. We'll do it Monday. A couple hours later, Dr. Foster came in and said, Pastor, we're going to go ahead and do the surgery today. We've had a cancellation. I said, oh, my, can we wait till Monday? I said, give me a few days. Let's think about this, you know, taking her whole colon out. And now she had to wear a bag on her side and everything. So he said, no. He said, I think we better do it today. We've had a counseling. So I said, okay. They wheeled her down to the pre-op room, and we said our prayers. I called one woman in my church. I said, get everybody praying. I learned as a pastor, the best communication in a church is tell a woman. Amen. And so she passed the word around, had everybody praying. When the time came for the surgery, we prayed, we cried with her. We went to into the waiting room. When I did, the whole room was packed full of my church people. And I never felt so loved as I felt that day. By the way, that's the reason why it's important to be that kind of church, amen, that you love each other and support each other, because it's very meaningful during that time. So they did the surgery, and after the surgery, the surgeon, Dr. Foster, came out. And when he walked out, he said, Pastor, your prayers have been answered. I said, what do you mean my prayers have been answered? He said, when we went in to get her colon out, it was bursting open and infection was starting to seep out of her colon. If we'd have waited till Monday, she would be dead, because it would have completely opened up and all that infection would be in her body and kill her just like that. We knew that God protected. Amen. God protected. So we went through that. We had to go through learning how to put the bag on her side, and that was quite an experience too, and learning that. And, of course, she didn't feel beautiful. I remember the first day that they walked in and showed us all that, and I'd never seen anything like that, and it just floored me. It floored her. I'll never forget when the nurse walked out. I knew what my wife was thinking, and the Holy Spirit told me to say this to my wife. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, honey, you're the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world. And as soon as I said that, she burst out in tears because she felt ugly, you know, with that going on her. We went through that, and then now it was time for she survived that, got through that. Now the time was that it was time for the transplant. So she did a transplant with her own cells at University of Michigan, which was 3 hours away from where we live there in Grand Rapids area. And so we had to go stay there a month. I lived in the hospital. During that month, I got pancreatitis while I was living in the hospital. They moved me on fifth floor. Down to fifth floor while my wife was on eighth floor. And so I'm in the hospital with pancreatitis while she's having a transplant with her own cell. She got home before I did, amen? And so we went through that during that time. Well, it didn't work. It didn't pull the cancer down. So now they said the only next choice is to do a transplant with her sister's cells. They were a perfect match. So we had to go last September and go, and they said it'll take 3 months. So you'll have to live here. You'll have to get an apartment in Ann Arbor. We looked at apartments. It was over $1,000 for an apartment in Ann Arbor. I paid a mortgage already. Had to pay $1,000. I took $1,000 a month pay cut at the church because of Michigan, you know, the economy. And so we were going through unbelievable things. But a few weeks before we went to Ann Arbor, had to move to Ann Arbor, we had nowhere to live. And they said, you're going to have to live there. You're going to be there 100 days. And you'll have to live in an apartment. When she gets out of the hospital, she got to stay close by to the hospital. So we prayed. My sweetheart and I, every night we prayed. We said, God, we need a place to live. We don't have $1,000 a month to pay rent, plus pay our mortgage and everything else. And we prayed. One night the phone rang. And this guy on the other end of the phone said, hey, you know who this is? That's the way he answered the phone. I said, no, I don't believe I do know who this is. He said, this is Russell. I said, Russell who? He said, Russell Anderson. He said, I wanted to call you. He said, I heard about your situation, and I was praying this morning about 3 o'clock in the morning, and God told me to call you. And I was praising God he didn't call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. But he said, God told me to call you. And he said, I used to own over 400 apartments. And he said, now I don't have that many, but I still have some. And he said, I've got an apartment for you, and you don't have to pay a dime to stay there. And I went and stayed, and he said, you can come look at it. If you don't like it, I'll get you another one. Hey, I didn't care. Amen. I didn't care. And but we, Brother Anderson, we didn't only stay there 3 months. We had to stay there. We ended up staying 5.5 months. In that apartment because of my wife's situation. We went through all that. And Brother Anderson, I called him. I said, Brother Anderson, let me pay the utilities at least. And Brother Anderson, I'll never forget him. He said, when I run out of money, I'll let you know. Amen. But he paid it all. He paid it all. God used Brother Anderson in my life to provide our need. So we went. We went through the transplant, and then all of a sudden, she got graft versus host disease in her gut area. And what that is just like it's the new cells and the old cells are fighting each other. So it ended up, one morning I woke up early and I felt the bed was wet. And I thought, this is not right. When I turned the light on, it was covered in blood. My wife had blood pouring out her bottom. She had blood coming out her mouth, her nose. I took my wife and picked her up in my arms, and I put her in the car, rushed her to the mercy. I sit hours and hours and hours at the hospital and emergency rooms. I can't tell you how many times we went through. But what it was punching holes in her stomach. The graft versus host, doctor says it's like a man inside of your stomach, punching holes in your stomach. And she was bleeding to death, and they had to run hose down her nose and her mouth and suck the blood out of her so she wasn't drowning in her own blood. And so we went through that. We went through all kinds of things. She hallucinated. She didn't know who I was sometimes. Just all kinds of difficult. Well, she made it through that. It was an absolute miracle how she made it through it. The day finally came. And by the way, every Sunday, and I told you this part would be longer than the points, okay? So please listen. I think it'll when I get to the points, it's going to help you, amen? I'm going to get to helping you. I'm just sharing what we went through so you'll understand. So after we went through all that, finally the day came that we, after 5.5 months, we get to go home. For 5.5 months, I pastored my church. I would get up at 3 o'clock, pastor, on Sunday morning. My wife was taking 41 different medications every day. She was on IVs. I'd have to put her on IVs, take her off IVs. I had to put her to shots, give her shots, medicine, all kinds of things. Every day I had to keep everything right in order, doctor visits after doctor visits after doctor visits, everything in order where she had to be. But 3 o'clock, I'd get up. I'd get all her medicine in little baggies, separate her medicine that she had to take all through the day. I would cook 3 meals. I'd cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and have them all ready for her. And then I'd have her IVs ready and everything set up. And a lady would come at 6:30 on Sunday morning. I'd have all that done by the time she got there. And then I would get my car and drive to Grand Rapids and time to preach and teach Sunday school, preach. Then I would counsel people till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I'd be back preaching at 6 o'clock. And then as soon as church is over, I'd jump in my car, drive back to Ann Arbor, get there around 11 o'clock at night to put IVs again on my wife. And we did that for months, months. That's how I pastored my church. It was very difficult, very difficult. And so we went through all that. But I remember the day that it was time to go back to Grand Rapids. Oh, we were so happy. And we get to go home. We get to go home. We got that day, that morning I got up, I laid all my bills. I always laid my bills out there on the floor, and I'd pray over them. And I'd say, God, now look, Lord, I can't pay that bill, and I can't pay that bill. You're going to have to help me. And I'd pray over them. I'd pray over my bills. Well, after I got done, I put them back together, and they were about that high. Amen. And I got them all together, and we got everybody up. We got in the truck. We started heading back to Grand Rapids. This was on Monday morning. I'm going down the road, got around Lansing, Michigan. And about that time, the phone rang, my cell phone. And they said, Pastor, you don't know. By the way, those bills tallied up to $5,000. And that's after everything paid it off. That was the co-payments and everything. And so he said, Pastor, you don't know who I am, but I'm a man in Ohio. And he said, I got up Sunday morning, and I told God, whoever God puts in front of me has got a need. I'm going to send them some money to help them. And he said, I went to church this morning. The pastor got up and said, I want you to pray for so-and-so, Pastor Brian, and his wife. His wife has cancer. They live in Michigan. And God, I want you to pray for them. Don't you know they got a lot of medical needs? Well, that man, that layman, sat in the church and heard that. And he got my number and called me on Monday and said, I'm sending you a check. He didn't ask me how much. I didn't tell him how much. He said, you'll get a check in the mail. Folks, for the next 2 or 3 days, I camped out by my mailbox. Amen. And I tackled the mailman every time he came by. But I'll never forget the day I walked out and opened that mailbox. And I opened that envelope. And there was a check in there for $5,000. God met my need. So we went through that. And we got through all that. I had to still keep her coming back to Ann Arbor every 2 weeks. We'd drive back and forth. Finally, this past June, my daughter graduated this past June. We were at her graduation. I was sitting in my office, and a lady came down and said, Pastor, Bonnie is in the middle of the bathroom floor. I went down there. This is on my daughter's graduation night. I went down there, and I looked in the bathroom floor. My wife couldn't walk. I picked her up in my arms again, carried her to the car, took her to the emergency room, and that, what had happened, a femur bone broke. Her bone just broke. And they had to put a steel rod, steel ball in there, and she had to learn how to walk again. About a month ago, a little over a month ago, I was getting ready to go preach, and she was going to go with me. Maybe it was a little over a month, about 2 months ago. And she reached down to put her stockings on, and she felt a pop, and a bone in her lower spine broke. Another week later, 2 more broke. They began to break in her back, and her spine was breaking. So on that day, I took her to University of Michigan Hospital, brought her here. They did a full MRI on her back, and they found a tumor right next to her brain, right on the top of her spine. And then they said, you know, there's nothing we can do now. And so we brought her home on a Thursday night. And and on that Thursday night, within a week, we began to see her go downhill. And then so 2 weeks ago, on a Saturday morning at 10:12, my sweetheart went home to be with the Lord. And you say, preacher, what is good has come out of all this? You see, sometime in life, your mountains are going to come tumbling down. And you say, preacher, what could you learn from this? What could you learn from all this happening? Well, the title of my message is this. And like I said, 5 points will go quick. And the title message is Some Things That You Realize When Your Mountains Come Tumbling Down. First of all, let me say this. God's got a plan. I say, you're going to realize God's got a plan. You say, what plan, preacher? What plan could God have had for all this? Are you ready? Are you ready? You ready for God's plan? You want to know what God's plan is? Let me tell you what it is. First of all, there's been 177 people that has gotten saved at University of Michigan Hospital. There's been doctors that have gotten saved. There's been nurses that have gotten saved. There's been patients that have gotten saved. We had an oncologist that got saved. And he didn't want anything to do with God. He didn't want anything to do with God. He said, I don't want anything to, at first when we tried to witness to him, he said, I don't want anything. He's from Lebanon. And he said, well, he began to watch Bonnie and I. He'd come to the hospital and see everything that she was going through. And he watched everything that she was going through, but he see us praying with people. He see us encouraging people. We always had a big candy basket, and we'd go around to patients when they come to the floor, the transplant floor, and we'd go to their door and welcome to our floor. We'd go to the door. We'd knock on the door and say, hi, my name's Pastor Brian. This is my wife, Bonnie. We'd like to welcome you to the transplant floor. And they thought we worked for the hospital. And this is what we do. Say, listen, we'd like to give you a gift. And we'd have little bags of candy and stuff. And we'd give them bag of candy and say, we'd like to give you a gift and welcome you here. And we know what you're going through. My wife has bone cancer. But we'd like to have your name because her and I are going to pray for you every night. We're going to pray for you. And we made a prayer list and put it on the bulletin out there in the hallway, the people we prayed for. And Dr. Brady saw that. He saw how we, even though we were going through all what we were going through, he saw how we just kept smiling and we kept loving God and we praying. And he see us praying with people in the hallway and everything. Hey, let me tell you something. God's got a plan. God's got a plan for what's going on. So finally, one day, we went to the office, to Dr. Brady's office, and Dr. Brady said, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be practicing in Nevada. And he said, I'm going there to open a practice there in Nevada. And he said, I don't want to leave you folks. And he said, but I'll see you one more time after this. He said, but I'm going to Lebanon too. I hadn't seen my mom and dad, my mom and grandma in over 7 years because I've been in medical school. He said, so I'll see you again before I go, you know, to there. Well, God touched my heart to get I prayed. I said, God, what can I give him as a gift to take to his grandma and his mama? Well, all of a sudden, God touched my heart to buy a Bible in his language. And so I found a Bible, Arabic, translated from the Old King James Bible, in Arabic language, and I bought him one, I bought his mama one, I bought his grandma one. And I wrote a note in there and said, thank you for allowing your son and grandson to come to America, giving them up giving him up to come try to save my wife's life. And I wrote a note in there. Well, on that Thursday before our appointment on Monday, he had gone to Barnes & Noble's bookstore and bought a book on God. Now, folks, let me tell you something. If you want to know something about God, don't go to Barnes & Noble's bookstore. Amen. But he went to Barnes & Noble and bought a book on God that was actually denying God. And so he got in an argument with his mama on that Thursday night. And his mama was Roman Catholic, but she was in Lebanon. And she said, son, let me tell you something. You want to throw that book away because there is a God. Well, he got mad, slammed the phone down, looked up in the sky and said, okay, God, if you're real, give me a book that proves you're real. 2 days later, I was sitting in his office with him, and he gave us some bad news that day. It was like 3 or 4 days later on Monday, we had an appointment with him. I was sitting there, and Pastor, I'm sorry to tell you this. And he gave us some bad news, and I said, well, okay. And I said, well, I got a gift for you. I know you're going to Lebanon this week. And I reached down and pulled that Bible out for him, his mother, and his grandmother. And all of a sudden, he took that Bible, and he began to tremble. And he said, what is this? I said, it's a Bible. It'll tell you about God. It'll tell you how you can get saved and how you can go to heaven when you die. He said, let me tell you what happened. And he told me that story. And he said, now you're giving me this book. He got on his knees in his office and got saved right in that office. My wife was weeping. My daughter, 18-year-old daughter, was weeping. After he got saved, my wife said this, Dr. Brady, I got to tell you something. Now, here my wife is terribly dying with cancer and sick. She said, when I was in Bible college, I had a dean of women named Marlene Evans. And she wrote a book on cancer. And in that book, she talked about how her doctor got saved, her oncologist got saved. And she told her oncologist, it was worth me having cancer for you to get saved. And I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget this picture, Pastor. My wife, tears. And she said, Doctor, I feel the same way. I'm so glad. I feel that me having cancer is worth you getting saved. And you know what? God has a plan. God has a plan. You don't understand it. You don't understand it right now. But you'll understand it one day. Amen? And we've had doctors get saved. We've had nurses get saved. We had the main head person come from the transplant for it, University of Michigan, stood in my wife's room one day, and she said, I got to tell you something. I don't know what y'all have done to this floor, but it has changed. She said, they have better spirits. They have better attitudes. Everybody enjoys coming to work. She said, people are praying. People are happy. People are serving. She said, you have changed our whole floor here at University of Michigan Hospital. And she said, I don't know what you got, but I want it. And when she said, I smiled at her. And I said, you know what? You can have it. And that lady sat right there and got on her knees in my wife's room. We knelt by my wife's bed, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. God's got a plan. I say, God's got a plan. I had a nurse call me last week. She called me on the phone and said, hey, Pastor, guess what? I led a man to Christ. I led her to Christ. We had Bible studies in the nurse down in the family room. And I trained them how to win souls to Christ. And now they're winning people to Christ before they die. Before they die. Hey, God's got a plan. God's got a plan. You don't understand what the plan is. But God knows what it is. And you let God do it. Amen? God's got a plan. Number two, you get to realize God provides. You remember the story I told you about? The man with the $5,000? You remember the apartment? I told you the points will go along with this story. Hey, you get to see God provide. You get to see God provide. You don't realize until you don't have it. Can I have amen? You don't realize until you don't have. Number three, you get to see God protect. Did you remember the story about her colon? You remember how that it just happened? Somebody counseled out on that Saturday. Hey, God provided. God protects. God watch out. Number four, you get to feel God's grace and God's peace. You know what? You don't know the peace of God until the storms are raging in your life. The night that she broke her femur bone, and we went into the emergency room, and the doctors came in and said, we're going to have to do emergency surgery on her. We have to put a whole new femur bone in, or a rod, steel rod, and steel ball, and we're going to have to take her on the end. We went in there. There was nobody in the surgery pre-op room. There was nobody in there. It was just my wife and I. Everybody else already had surgery. So we were in there by ourselves, and it was quiet. And all there was a few doctors over here doing paperwork and nurses over here doing paperwork. And so I'll be honest with you, church, listen to me, and pastor. For the first time in a long time, I was tired of it. I was tired of it all. And I looked at my wife's face, and she had the most down look I've ever seen. By the way, that's the first time I'd seen her that down in all the years, the last 2 years, first time. She won people to Christ herself. One night we thought she was dying. The doctor said, I don't think she's going to make it through the night. We walked back in. My wife had a nurse by the hand leading her to Christ. She led many of these people to Christ herself. And so we're in this pre-op room, you know, getting her ready and everything. And I looked at my wife's face, and she looked so down. And I looked at her, and I said, honey, are you okay? And she said, I'm so tired of this. I'm just so tired of it. And so I took my head and I laid my head kind of on the bed, you know, the edge of the bed like this, and it was laid, and we both were weary. We were tired. We've sat in hours and hours and hours just like this in emergency room and hospitals, and I'm sitting there, and I said, God, I need you. I said, God, I just need you to help me. Please show up, God. Just somehow show me, God, that you're here with us, God. You know, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You know how God's going to do that? Through the quiet times of feeling the peace of God, that you know God's there. And so I'm like this, and I said, God, I just need to know you're here. God, just somehow show me that you're in this room. And all of a sudden, I heard something going, I thought, where's that humming coming from? I know it's not the doctors. And I looked at my wife, and there's that old bruise. Brother, Pastor Roger, her body was so bruised. I mean, the cancer, I'm not kidding, her feet were blue from no circulation, her hands, because her nerves and the cancer and everything, her body was so bruised. And I looked at that old tattered body, and all of a sudden I saw her moving her lips. And all of a sudden, just out of the clear blue, she started singing. I mean, she just burst out a song. She went like this. She just went, then she went, I'm so tired, I'm so weary, but I believe I'll go on till the Lord calls me home. I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't just the doctors in that room now. Amen. It wasn't just the nurses in that room. It wasn't just me and my wife. God was in that room. Amen. God was in that room. And you get to feel God in a room like that when you're in the midst of the storm. That's the only way that you really get to feel the peace of God when your mountains come tumbling down. And then number five, let me say this, God will give you power. You get to realize the power of God. Can I have amen? You get to realize the power of God. When I was one day I was so tired and so weary of it all, and I went down to the family room, and I was in the room. I didn't want to talk to anybody. Anybody ever been like that? You just don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to talk to your wife. You don't even want to talk to the dog. Amen. You don't want to talk to anybody. And that's the way I felt that day. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was just tired, you know, and just weary of it all. So I go down the room there, and the family room is in there by myself. All of a sudden, here comes a woman and a man and two girls, look like two teen girls. And they come walking in there, and I said, oh, man, I didn't want to be in here, you know, with somebody. I wanted to be here alone. So I kind of looked out the window away from them. In a few minutes, the lady said, sir, are you a preacher? I hate it when they do that. Amen. I hate it. What does a preacher look like? Amen. Fat, ugly, or skinny, or I don't know. Amen. I don't know what a preacher's supposed to look like. But I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I am a preacher. She said, could you pray with us? I said, yes, ma'am, I could pray with you. I said, who you want me to pray for? She said, my daddy. My daddy's down there. He's dying. She said, would you pray for me? And I said, yes, ma'am, I'll be glad to pray with you. And I reached out and took all of them's hand. We got in a circle prayer. And I said, let's pray. And I began to pray. Right in the middle of it, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to stop. So I stopped. And I looked up and I said, ma'am, now I'm praying, but I've got to ask you a question right in the middle of my prayer. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know if you died, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? She looked at me and she said, no, I don't know that. And I said, sir, how about you? And she said, no, he don't know that. Amen. Well, you women always know everything about the men, amen. Even their own souls, they know where they're going, amen. And he said, no, I don't know that. And I looked at the two little sweet girls who were sitting there. I said, you know you're going to heaven, honey. They looked at me and said, no, sir, we don't know that. And I took the Bible. And I had a little New Testament that I pulled out. I had it in my pocket. I pulled a little New Testament out. I said, let me show you how Jesus loves you and how he died for you and paid for your sin. And I'm telling you, tears begin to flow when that family trusted Christ as their Savior. Let me tell you what God will do for you. He'll give you power. I said he'll give you power. He'll give you power to win souls. He'll give you power to bring more people to Christ. And when you don't even want to open your mouth, God will give you power. He'll give you power to bring people to the Lord in the midst of when your valleys or your mountains are coming tumbling down. God will give you power. You know what the whole theme of this message is? Are you ready? You can't do anything without God. You can't do anything without God. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. You can't do anything without God. And can I tell you something? Are you ready? And I'm done. if you're not saved this morning, you need him. I said, if you're not saved this morning, you need the Lord. Your mountains are going to, they may be strong right now, but there's going to come a day they're going to come tumbling down. And you're going to wish you had a God that could be there with you to get you through the storms and the rough times. Can I tell you something? Listen, are you saved this morning? Do you know if you died right now, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If you're not, oh, God loves you. I said God loved you so much. He sent his son to die on a cross so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. If you go to hell, it's your choice. If you go to heaven, it's your choice. Can I have amen? He's allowed you to make the choice. Do you want heaven or hell? Listen to me. On the October 29th, my wife, before she died, she sneezed. It was kind of funny. She had been in a coma for 4 days. No response. All of a sudden, she sneezed. It was just funny how she sneezed. Then all of a sudden, my daughter had laid on her shoulder for 4 straight days, never left her side. 18-year-old daughter. Matter of fact, my daughter this week went to the house and got her mama's clothes. And I was telling Pastor, she got her mama's favorite pajamas and laid them on the bed. Because every night, my daughter would go in there and just talk to her mama for an hour or two. And so many times, I wish she'd just get out so I could go to bed. But she just wanted, it was her time to just talk to her mama. The other day, she went to the house and she got her mama's pajamas and laid them out like her mom was laying there on the bed. My daughter curled up next to those pajamas and talked to her mama, smelled her clothes. I said, Mama, I miss you so much. You listen to me. Death's real. And you're going to die one day. That's a fact. And you better make sure you're saved. You better make sure that if you died today, you're going to heaven when you die. My wife, she sneezed. This was in her life. My daughter was laying on her shoulder. She said, Mama, what do you see, Mama? She got the biggest, my wife had the biggest smile I've ever seen on her face. She was actually opening her mouth trying to grin. You know, and she was looking up, trying to get her head up. And my daughter said, What do you see, Mama? What do you see, Mama? And then my wife started moving her mouth. She was trying to tell us. And then all of a sudden, she laid her head back. She sneezed 2 more times. And then she took this hand right here and reached over and took my daughter's hand and clenched it and took her last breath. You know what? There was joy in that room. You know what? The first words that came out of my mouth, are you ready? I yelled it out. She's healed. She's healed. There's no more pain. There's no more doctors. There's no more. 2.5 years of going through all that was released out of me. She's healed. If you're not saved this morning, you're so ignorant. Why don't you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and come to Christ today? With every head bowed, nobody looking, please, no talking. I'm going to ask you to do something. Please, no talking. I want to ask you something this morning. With everyone sitting there, you don't know. Yes, sir. You don't know when you're going to die. Now, who would say this morning, say, Preacher, I do not know 100% for sure that I'm going to heaven. I do not know that. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning. I'm not going to drag you down the aisle this morning. I'm not going to call your name out this morning. All I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a simple prayer with you, okay? You don't have to pray it out loud. Please, no talking. Don't talk to your friend right now, okay? Because they may need the Lord, and you don't want to interrupt them. But who would say, preacher, I'm going to pray a prayer with you right now. By the way, let me ask you something. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today, what would you lose? What would you lose? You wouldn't lose anything. You'd lose hell and gain heaven. What a deal. But right where you're sitting, if you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, say, I need the Lord, preacher. I need the Lord. I need to be saved. I need to be sure in my heart that I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. Then I want you to pray this prayer. Are you ready? Are you ready? You can pray it quiet way, however you want to pray it. But I want you to pray with me. This prayer won't save you. You trust in Christ is what's going to save you. Are you ready? Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done things wrong. And I realize that I don't deserve to go to heaven. But the best I know how, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Save me, Lord. Save me right now. I believe you died on a cross and was buried and arose from the dead. I believe that. Save me, Lord. With every head bowed, nobody looking. I'm not going to embarrass you. But nobody's looking. If you're not ashamed that you just prayed that prayer and you just trusted Christ as your Savior, what I'm going to do, I'm going to say, slip your hand up, and I'll say, God bless you, and put that hand right back down. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you this morning. And you say, I just prayed that prayer. Would you slip your hand up right now? Come on. Anybody, anybody, slip your hand up. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. Somebody, come on. Nobody's gonna hurt you. Nobody's going to take your names down. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. I see that hand. Somebody else. Somebody else. Slip it up right now. Just slip it up right now. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of what I did. I just accepted Christ as my Savior. Slip it up right now. Somebody else. Somebody else. Preacher, I just prayed that prayer. I'm not ashamed to say it. Anyone at all. Anyone else. Father, thank you so much for these that prayed and trusted Christ as their Savior. And I pray that they meant it with their heart, Lord. Please work in their lives, Lord. Please, Lord. With every head bowed, now I want to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you would. Now, who would say this morning, preacher, I'm a Christian, and God spoke to my heart this morning. I've got some mountains that have come tumbling down in my life. Might be through a job. It might be through finances. It might be through family. It might be just through health. It might be some. Who would raise their hand right now and say, preacher, my mountains, I've had some mountains come down in my life. Raise your hand right now. My goodness, hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. Here's what I want to ask you. Do you need the Lord? Do you think you need God's help? Do you think you need God's help? Now, can I ask you to do something? Would you slip out of that pew when this instrument begins to play? Would you slip out of that pew and come to this altar, humble yourself, and say, God, I need thee. Oh, God, I need thee every hour. God, God, fill me. Use me, God. Help me, God, to take this and use the plan that you have for my life right now.